My grandson's birthday party. I hate to tell you, but my grandson comes first. Amen. Amen. I know I don't look like I got a grandson, but you know, it's just how it works. You have these young preachers come in for youth meetings. Amen. I had my hair done before I came to make me look a little older. I had it dyed a little bit, so don't worry about that. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. They said, y'all heard what happened to Caleb? His eye? Did y'all hear? Them 7 stitches? He said that girl said, he said he thought she said, stand up, but she really said, shut up, amen. When he stood up, he got him, amen. 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 They were saying something about the newlyweds over here. You get out that foyer, they talk too much. You can't talk that much for the preacher before he gets in the pulpit, you know? And they was talking about how good of a shot she was when she was young, shooting the gun. And he got to talking about, man, she's been good at everything she's ever done. I said, well, whatever happened when she came to picking a husband? She used them all up when she was young, I guess. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, amen. I don't know, amen. Things happen, don't they? Good to be in church. Appreciate the service already this morning. Let's read our Bible this morning, get into the message. 1 Kings 17. Look in verse number 1. What's the first word there? And. You see it? And Elijah, the Tishbite. You know, Elijah is one of the most well-known characters in the Old Testament. The Bible says, and Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning, and bread and fish, flesh, excuse me, not fish, and bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Just as he had told Ahab, there would be no rain in these years. Verse 8 said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, but according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and lay him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, has thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Let us pray. Brother Terrence, how about pray for us this morning, brother?
Dear Lord, again, we ask, Lord
God help us, Lord.
Preaching, Lord, I pray
help
you,
people,
Lord.
God.
Help us, Lord. Right words say, Lord.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Listening, attentive. You
God,
feed us, Lord
help.
God. If somebody preaching, speak to every heart here, Lord, from youngest to oldest. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Very interesting story here about the beginning of the life of Elijah. Look in verse number 1 again. The Bible said, "On Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab." It's amazing when you begin to pick up your Bible and read that, I don't know if you've ever paid much attention, many of you probably have, but this is the first time Elijah shows up in your Bible. There's no mention about his birth, there's no mention about his beginning. It's just out of nowhere he shows up. Never mentioned before. And he shows up and he burst on the scene to do a great work for God. Amen. It's amazing to me when you look at the life of Elijah, how he burst out on the scene out of nowhere. It had to be sometime in his life that there was a relationship cultivated with him and God before he began to do this great work of God, just like God does with anybody, amen. God's going to come by, as a brother read this morning in Ephesians chapter number 2, and quicken you and save your soul and change your life before anything ever begins in your life to be done for God. Now, Elijah had a relationship with God that started somewhere. It's not recorded in the Word of God. Hey, but he knew where it was, no doubt, just as you and I know if God has ever done a work in our lives. There's got to be a time when God comes by you and convicts your life of sin and how he died on the cross and took your place that you might be saved. And when you accept God's death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation, God quickens you and saves your soul. Now, Elijah had this relationship. We don't know when it was. Amen. Many of you have one today. If you don't have a relationship with God like that, you need and must be born again. But Elijah shows up out of nowhere. He busts on the scene to do a great work for God. I mean, look at what he does in verse number 1. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth. He burst on the scene and rebukes Ahab for his wickedness. Ahab was a wicked man. I mean, he was known for his wickedness, amen. Everybody knew about the wickedness of Ahab. But when Elijah showed up, one of the first things he does is rebuke Ahab of his wickedness and lets Ahab know that God liveth, amen. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, we are serving a living God, amen. And he knows exactly what's going on in your life. Now, Elijah might have thought, nobody knows what's going on in my life, but there was a God in heaven that knew exactly what was going on in his life. And God is well and alive today and knows what's going on in my life and in yours. When he shows up, he rebukes him of his wickedness. Amen. By doing so, you know what Elijah does? Look in verse number 1. He said, As the Lord thy God, Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. You know what he does when he burst on the scene out of the get-go? Is he makes a stand against the wickedness of this world, and he makes a stand of his own for God. He says, Before whom I stand. Do you know what Elijah said? I'm going to let you know where I stand.
Amen. Hey, you know what Elijah's doing? He's kind of drawing a line in the sand and saying, this is where I stand. Amen. Hey, you know what needs to happen in your life? You know what needs to happen in my life? There needs to come times in our life, as the brother spoke about this morning, about being saved as a 13-year-old individual, but in his teens and later on as a senior year, when he began to get serious with God, about a walk with God, he kind of burst on the scene, kind of like Elijah. What a great physical illustration that we had this morning from our preacher. Amen. How God had saved him. There was a relationship with him and God, but there come a time when he stepped out and said, hey, I hate sin and God hates sin, and he drew the line and said, this is where I'm going to stand. Hey, you know what we need this morning, amen? We need some people to come out, hey, from behind the scenes. Hey, thank God you're saved, amen. Thank God you're born again, but you need to make a stand and splash out and say, hey, now it's my time to serve the Lord. You look at the great testimonies around this church and great testimonies of people in your life. Thank God for them. But you know what they did? They have made stands, amen. Hey, they've splashed out on the scene and said, I'm here to do a work for God, amen. And now it's your time to say, hey, it's my time to make a stand for God. Elijah out of nowhere, nobody seen him coming, amen. Hey, but God had been working in that boy's life for a long time and preparing him for such a time as this. You know what we need today? We need some people to say, hey, you know what? It's my time to make a stand. I'm tired of the wickedness of this world. I'm going to draw a line against it, amen. Hey, my God's alive, and I'm going to serve him with my life and give my life to him. And here I am, ready to serve God. Got a lot of God's people just kind of hiding behind just being saved. Elijah burst on the scene. He made a stand, amen. Hey, and God's still looking for people to make a stand. I think about that verse over in Ezekiel 22. Well, the Bible said God sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Amen. God's still looking for people to make a stand. Stand in the gap for your lost loved ones. Stand in the gap for this old wicked world. Amen. Hey, Elijah burst on the scene out of nowhere. Amen. I like looking and watching and observing God work in people's lives. I know your pastor can testify to this. It's exciting to see God work in people's lives and how they grow in grace and begin to do things for the Lord. And you're there when they get saved. And you're there when they repent of their sin and accept the Lord to escape the damnation of hell and have their name written down in heaven and have a home waiting for them with God. Amen. Hey, but then there comes times in their lives after their salvation when they kind of make... I'm not talking about a second work of grace or a third work of grace or anything like that. Amen. When you get saved, you get all God you need. Hey, but God maybe not get all of us. Amen. Hey, Elijah burst out on the scene and said, hey, it's my time to shine. It's my time to stand. I'm tired of the wickedness, and here I stand for the Lord. Amen. Hey, I don't know what some of you waiting on. Amen. To make a stand for the Lord. Amen. Elijah made a stand. Amen. Out of nowhere. Amen. But God seen it coming, amen. I like to see people stand up for the Lord. Amen. Hey, there was no doubt that Ahab and those around Ahab and those around Elijah knew which side of the fence he was on. Yeah, right. It's amazing within our churches, you're kind of wondering what side they on. Yeah, are they coming or going? Are they going to serve the Lord? Or are they going to serve the world? Amen. Hey, Elijah drew a line. Amen. He made a stand, hey, for his living God. You know what Elijah does, amen, with this beginning of his life? Elijah goes down as one of the greatest individuals in history and greatest prophet that ever served the Lord. I mean, he goes down in history, amen. Out of nowhere, this guy shows up. You know what I'm trying to say this morning? Hey, there could come a time in your life that you finally draw a line and make a stand and go down as one of the greatest Christians God's ever used. You'll say, preacher, God don't do that. Why don't he? Why don't he? Amen. Why, we got examples, amen, in the church about God's used great individuals in this place, men and women that serve the Lord and still doing a work for God. Hey, why ain't God still the same? Hey, God's still raising up a generation, amen. Hey, God still wants to use people, amen. Hey, but God's waiting for you to make a stand, amen, and say, hey, I'm tired of the wickedness, amen. I'm tired of this old world. Here I stand for the Lord, amen. Hey, where's the next generation of Elijahs, amen? Hey, where's the next generations of the preacher, amen? And preachers' wives and saints of God, amen? Hey, where are they at? It's going to make a stand and say, here I am for God. And he goes down as one of the greatest prophets ever. Amen, it's Elijah and Moses is on the mountain of transfiguration in Matthew chapter number 11. Amen, all down through history he's showing up, amen. I believe it's Moses and Elijah that shows up in Revelation chapter number 11. The two witnesses that prophesy for 260 days in the great tribulation. Hey, this old guy goes down as a great man and a great servant of the Lord, amen. Hey, when the Bible speaks of the law and the prophets, amen, he's speaking about Moses and Elijah, amen. Hey, that great man of God out of nowhere burst on the scene. I wonder, for a long time, people probably thought, well, this boy's going to never go mount anything. I mean, there's nothing mentioned about him. Kind of just behind the scenes, behind everybody else. And I believe there ought to be a time that you are behind the scenes. And you sit there and keep your mouth shut, amen. And kind of let somebody groom you and prepare you and let the Lord cultivate something in your life. And let the Spirit of God stir your heart and do works in your life. As the brother said this morning, through youth camps and camp meetings and revival times and regular whole time services of worshiping God, how God's preparing you, amen. Hey, but there's going to come a time you're going to have to make the stand and say, here I am. Hey, have your wicked and I'm standing up for my God. And he burst out, amen, on the scene. Does a great work for the Lord. And that doesn't mean this guy wasn't exempt from troubles in his life. The New Testament speaks about Elijah. James said, he said in James 5 and 17 that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. I mean, he had troubles in his life. I mean, you get over to chapter 18, he makes that great stand against the prophets of Baal, and it ain't long after that, in chapter 19, he's over there in a den, in a cave somewhere in a great depression in his life. I mean, he had troubles. He wasn't exempt from troubles in his life. Hey, but there come a time in his life, you know what he said? Hey, as for me and my house, the brother said, we're going to serve the Lord. He made a stand. I want to look at this passage this morning. Be very brief, but I want to give you something that I hope that can stir your heart. Maybe call someone today to make that stand for the Lord on this thought. What Elijah did that put his life in a great place for great success for God. What did he do? What did Elijah do? Elijah's stand is what we call the message. But what did Elijah do that put his life in a place for great success for God? But you know, we got a lot of people looking out for great success for this whole world. Hey, God's people ain't down here to try to make American dream, man. If you can make it and God blesses you with it and you use it for God's glory, glory be to God, but that ain't why we're here. Our lives are here to glorify the Lord. But what is it that Elijah did that we can maybe glean from his life when he burst out on the scene? What are some characteristics in his life, hey, that put him in a place to be great for God's kingdom, amen, and be successful for the work of the Lord? Let me say, number one, it's very very common and maybe very overlooked in our lives today, especially in this young generation. Hey, Elijah, amen, the word of the Lord was precious to him. Hey, the word of the Lord was precious to this boy, amen. Hey, if God's going to use you to do something great for him, if you're going to splash out on the scene and do something great for the Lord, hey, God's never used anybody that done great things for him that the word of God wasn't precious to them, amen. Hey, we got a generation that's Bible illiterate, amen. If the word of God's not precious to them, amen. Hey, you look at Brother Charlie this morning. You know what happened to come a time in that man's life that the word of God was precious to him? I sat in his study this morning. He's reminiscing about when God saved him and how he got in the word of God and some of the first truths the Lord ever showed him. Amen. He forgot about that, man. It was something about this book that drawed him in. Amen. Hey, that first convicted him and saved his soul, but it drew him in a walk with God. Amen. Hey, the word of God's got to come precious to you if you're going to be successful in God's work. Hey, we're letting the word of God laid it aside. Nobody's picking it up. Nobody's reading it. Nobody's meditating on it. Nobody's studying it, amen. Nobody's finding out what God wants them to do. Hey, Elijah was a man that burst out on the scene, and I see that one of the first characteristics about this guy is the word of God was precious to him. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. The Bible says this, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Hey, look down to verse number 5. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. In verse number 8, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Hey, it's a constant theme within his life. Verse number 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. The Bible said in verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Do you know what you find out about Elijah that made him successful for God's work when he burst out on the scene? Hey, man, the word of the Lord was precious to that boy. I believe it was precious to him before he ever burst out on the scene. I believe he was a man that spent his time in the Word of God, and the Word of God was cultivating something within his life. Within those five examples where the Word of the Lord is mentioned in this chapter alone, and when he burst out on the scene, when it begins to show his work for the Lord, we see that in verse number 2, he was a man that listened to the Word of the Lord. Hey, do we have people today that are just listening to what the Word of God says? Hey, you got a lot of people in this young generation, they don't, you know, for lack of better term, don't give a rip. They don't care what the Word of God says. Right. Hey, you got a young generation now, don't even show up with a Bible to church. Right. Now, if you don't bring a Bible to church, and I'm not trying to be ugly and call you out, and I ain't been looking around to see who don't got a Bible, amen. Hey, but if you, it's not important to you to bring one to church, it's probably not important to you at your house. Right. Amen. That'd be safe to say, wasn't it, amen? If you ain't got enough in you to bring a Bible to church, I'm sure you're probably not reading it at your house, amen. Hey, the Word of the Lord's got to come precious to you. Hey, that book is what we live. Hey, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, we can do nothing to please God. And you ain't going to get faith without getting in that book, amen. He was a man that listened to the Lord, amen. Hey, when he stepped out on the scene, he was saying, God, what do you want me to do? He was a listener to the Word of the Lord. He not only listened to the Word of God, but in verse number 5, we see that the Word of the Lord, he did what it said. James said it like that, didn't he? Be not just hearers of the Word, but doers also. I mean, he was a man that listened to the Word of God, but he done what it said. Hey, the Word of the Lord was precious to that man. Hey, he wanted to know what God had to say. Hey, that's the way we ought to come to church. Hey, we're to be opening up our Bible and say, God, what are you trying to give me today? Hey, what do you want me to do? As I open up my Bible daily, what are you trying to show me about my life and the direction that I'm going? Amen. Hey, the Word of God's got to come precious to you if you're going to be successful for the Lord. Amen. It was a precious book to him. He listened to it. He did what it said. He believed it in verse number 16 when he went to that lady and the barrel of the meal shall not waste. Hey, he spoke to that woman by the Word of the Lord. Hey, man, he believed that old book was true. Do you believe this book's true? I'm telling you what, if you don't soon make a stand, listen to me. I'll echo what the preacher said this morning. Hey, I'm not trying to debate whether you're saved or lost. If God saves you, you're saved. What God doeth, he doeth forever. You can't add to it and you can't take away from it, amen. Hey, salvation is of the Lord, amen. And everybody needs to be born again. Hey, but I'm telling you what, there's people in our Bible-believing circle of churches, amen, that are born again. But when it comes to that point like he got in those teenage years, when he got up to a senior and you're going to make changes in your life to maybe get a job, pursue a career and things that just are natural to life, amen, they happen, amen. Hey, but if you've not settled in your heart that God is true, amen, and I believe this book, it is of God, and everything that he said is right, amen. Hey, the devil's going to come to you and draw you away from God, amen. Hey, we got some people just really, you know, is that really the way it is? Yeah. I've heard them tell us. There's people that's left our church that done the same thing that the brother talked about this morning. But when they got to that spot, instead of repenting and getting right with God, they went out the door. Yeah. And when they go out the door and you see them somewhere, they kind of come to things like this. Well, I don't even know if the Bible's really true. I mean, how can you get like that? How could somebody been raised under the Word of God, hey, quoting Bible verses all through Sunday school and serving the Lord and singing the songs of Zion and worshiping God, being used of God and have a touch of God on their lives, hey, get to a point where they're saying, hey, is it even so? Yeah. I'm telling you, the devil's powerful, amen, and he can pull you away from the Lord. Hey, you need to make a stand and say, I'm here to serve the Lord, amen. Yeah. I believe that book is of God, amen. Yeah. What God said was true. Elijah believed it, amen, and he spoke it. Amen, that's what the woman said. I believe what was spoken to you is of God. Amen, we better get to speaking up of the book. Hey, I'm talking about being successful for the Lord. How precious is the Word of God to you? How precious. Ain't it amazing that it's such a simple subject of the Word of God that can be so confounding and changing in your life if you would live it? What make these saints of God so special? They had a relationship with God through his book. Amen. Look, hold your place right here and look in Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. That's back here before Samuel, right? Joshua, Judges. Joshua chapter number 1. Do you know only, the word success is only found one time in your King James Bible? And you want to know what the word success is associated with? It's amazing. You know it. It's associated with God's word. Joshua chapter number 1, look in verse number 5. The Bible said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. The Lord speaking to Joshua. He said, and as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's saying, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. You know what the Lord will do? God will be with you just like he's been with Brother Charlie. Just like he's been with Sister Myra. Hey, God will be with you just like he's been with Brother Terrence. Amen. And these individuals in this church. Hey, just the other saints of God that I can name in this place. And you know, as a church member here who's got to stand for the Lord. Amen. And God was with them. And God said, just like I was with them, I'll be with you. He's the same God, amen, that Moses served as Joshua was serving, amen. He's the same God that these saints of God are serving today that you can serve, amen. Hey, God just wait for you to burst out on the scene, man. Hey, wouldn't it be exciting to see another one say, hey, here I am. It's my time to shine for God. It's my time to stand up for the Lord, amen. Hey, Ahab's wicked. This world's wicked. I love my God and here I stand, amen. Out of nowhere. Just show up one service and they've been going through the same routine, going through the same Sunday school department. But there comes that day where something clicks, man, and they burst out and you say, boy, God's got his hand on them. God's got his hand on her. God's got his hand on that one. Hey, watch what God's doing in their life. Hadn't you seen it happen? We've seen it happen. It's portrayed before our eyes, just like it's being portrayed in the Word of God. Elijah out of nowhere, here he comes.
Yeah.
Who's the next Elijah? Hey, God's still doing it? Who's the next great evangelist? Who's the next great servant of the Lord? It's going to be a mother to raise her children for God and stand there and hold up the bloodstained banner and the prayer life and serving God. There's no work that's insignificant to God. God's just looking for somebody to burst on the scene. God said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Look in verse number 6. He said, be strong. He said, and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Oh, the Lord knew what this boy was going to be up against, didn't he? He said, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. It's all about that book, man. He said, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Hear what God's saying? Hey, boy, this whole book was precious to Moses, and it better be precious to you. And if it was precious to Moses and it was precious to Joshua, it better be precious to us. Amen. He said, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Look at verse 8. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Hey, you not only meditate on it, but you do what it says. He says, for then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Hey, you want to be successful for the Lord? The Word of God better come precious to you. How precious is God's book? Amen. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Look back in 1 Kings 15. Hey, what made Elijah so successful? The word of God was precious to him. It was precious to him. Hey, I made a copy of this I read not too long ago that Spurgeon said. And I don't necessarily agree with everything what Spurgeon said, but God also done some great things with the man. Amen. The Bible says, listen to this right here. I'll read the verse and I'll read you what he said about it. Talking about how precious the Word of God ought to be. Hosea chapter 8, that little minor prophet book, you'll find this verse in verse 11. Hosea 8, 11. You don't have to turn there, just listen, I'll read it. Write it down if you want to check it out later. Hosea 8, 11 says this. He says, I have written to him the great things of my law. Is that not what God has done? Listen to this. They were counted as a strange thing. You know, God's written the great things of his book, but it's amazing that we count them as a strange thing. Spurgeon said this concerning the Bible. I had three things to say. This was a message that he preached on this subject here. This is just one of the first points of it. He said that it's within the text here.
Hey, first, it's the author. Who is the author of the book? He said, I have written. We know it's God. Hey, second, it's the subject of the verse. What's the subject? The great things of God's law. Amen. Hey, God wrote it, and God wrote the great things of his law. And thirdly, it is the common treatment. It has been accounted by men as a strange thing. That God would write, that he'd be interested in man, and he would write the great things that he has written, but we count it as a strange thing. He said, first then, concerning this book, who is the author? The text says it's God. He said, I've written to him the great things of my law. Here lies my Bible. Who wrote it? I mean, who wrote this book right here? Hey, why should it be so precious to us? He said, who wrote the book? He said, I open it and I find it consists of a series of tracts. The first five tracts were written by a man called Moses. I turn on and I find others. Sometimes I see David is the penman. At other times, Solomon. Here I read Malachi and Amos and Hosea. As I turn further on, the more luminous pages of the New Testament, I see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, and others. But when I shut it up, I ask myself, who is the author of it? Do these men jointly claim the authorship? Are they the compositors of this massive volume? Is it Moses and Solomon and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John? Is it just all these great men that God used? Do they between themselves divide the honor? Our holy religion answers no. This volume is written of the living God. Each letter was penned with the almighty finger. Each word drops from the everlasting lips. Each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. Albeit that Moses employed to write his histories with his fiery pen, God guided that pen. It may be that David touched his harp and the sweet psalms of melody dropped from his fingers, but God moved his hands over the living strings of the golden harp. It may be that Solomon sang canticles of love or gave forth words of consummate wisdom, but God directed his lips and made the preacher eloquent. It may follow with thunderings of Nahum when the horses plowed the waters, or Habakkuk when he sees the tents of Cushan in affliction. If I read Malachi when the earth burning like an oven. If I turn to the smooth page of John, who tells of love, or the rugged, fiery chapters of Peter, who speaks of fire devouring God's enemies. If I turn to Jude, who launches forth anathemas upon the foes of God. Everywhere I find God speaking. It is God's voice, not man's. The words of God's words, amen. The words of the eternal, the invisible, the almighty, the Jehovah of the earth, amen. This is God's book, amen. And God has given it to us. The Bible is God's Bible. And when I see it, yeah, I seem to hear the voice springing up from it, saying, I am the book of God. Man, read me. I am God's writing. Open my leaf, for I am penned by God. Read it, for he is my author. And you will see him visibly and manifested everywhere. I've written unto him the great things of my law. The problem is men count it as a strange thing.
Yeah, that's right.
How precious is God's word to you?
Amen.
Hey, Elijah made a stand, amen, and his life was successful. Number one, because the word of the Lord was precious to him. But number two, back in 1 Kings 17, he put faith in what God commanded.
Right.
The word of the Lord was precious to this man, but he put faith in what it said. The Bible says in verse number 4, look at this chapter when he burst on the scene. We know it was by the word of the Lord. Five times it's mentioned in the context. Verse 4 says, And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 9 says, Arise and get thee the Zarephath which belongeth to Zidon and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Twice within this passage, Elijah was commanded by the Lord. It's one thing to be commanded by the Lord, and it's another thing to act on what he commanded. Elijah was commanded. When he was commanded, he stepped out by faith, not knowing his next step. I mean, you imagine the Lord coming to you and he said, All right, Elijah, Elijah's just told Ahab that God's going to send a famine here. There's going to be no rain. This place is going to dry up. And God said, all right, Elijah, now that you've told him and you've let everybody know what your stand is, now go down there by the brook and drink of that brook, and I'm going to make sure I take care of you, and you don't have to worry about a thing. And Elijah said, okay, let's go. He going to go down there and live by a creek?
Yeah.
Or some of y'all might call it a crick. And God's going to take care of you down at that creek. You know what? God said it, and God's going to do what he said. Hey, sometimes God might ask you to do something. You might scratch your head and say, you sure about this, Lord? Yeah, I'm sure about it. I'm going to take care of you. I've commanded the ravens to sustain thee. And you mean you're going to send some raven to bring me some food? Ain't nobody seen nothing like that happen before. There's nothing recorded in the Word of God like that. But you want me to step out and go out there and you're going to take care of me?
Yeah.
Hey, you mean you want me to ride halfway across the world and start churches over there in Arizona and one day this guy's going to be in your church? Are you? What are you talking about, Lord? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I've commanded the ravens to take care of you, and I'm going to make sure I take care of you. Yeah. God just wants to know if you're willing to step out and say, let's watch him work. Let's see him do a great thing, amen. Hey, the word of the Lord was precious to him, but he began to step out by faith on what God commanded him to do. He didn't know what was going to happen. God just said it's going to happen. And he went down there, you know what? Bread and flesh in the morning. And he ate on that and drank of that brook. And he got a little hungry a little bit later on in the evening, and bread and fish, flesh in the evening. God dropped it in by that bird. And he drank and ate until God dried it all up. And then when God dried it all up, God sustained him as long as he needed in that situation. Then God said, all right, let's go. He said, where are we going? He said, I've commanded a woman down here to take care of you. Just like I commanded those ravens to take care of you, I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you. Hey, I've been depending on a raven. I'm going to go depend on a widow woman. It probably ain't got much. Yeah, that's what I said. Go down. You know what, Elijah? He never bats bones with God. He never says any word back. He just does what God told him to do. Right. I'm going to step out and watch God do great things because he's a great God.
Yeah,
and he stepped in. You mean, God, you want me to go down that altar and get right? Yeah, that's what I want. That's why I'm speaking to your heart about it. You mean you want me to make a stand? Hey, what are my other peers are going to say? Hey, don't worry about what they're going to say. I'm going to sustain thee. I'm going to take care of you. Amen.
Yeah.
God
Amen.
Just wants to know if you'll take the
right.
step. And Elijah took the step, and God took care of him as long as he needed to until the brook dried up, and God said, all right, I got another trip. And what's he doing? He's walking in the unseen territory. Taking one step by faith. I mean, yeah, some of you never heard of him, but old S.M. Lockridge, old great famous black preacher. Amen. Some of you might preach. I know preachers heard of him. Amen. He preached two great messages I know. One of them was on Amen, and one of them was on, what was it? My King. Check him out, man. You're talking about great preaching. But he's talking about living by faith for the Lord. He said, it's not like driving a car. He said, you know what kind of light, you know what you can see? You can only see where the light's shining at night. And you know what? You can't see left unless you turn left. But when you turn where the Lord says you to turn, God will illuminate the path wherever you go. And what Elijah was doing was walking in the light that God gave him. And when God needed him more light, hey, God turned him in a direction and illuminated that path. Hey, when the brook dried up, God said, I got a widow woman over here. Hey, just walk in the light that God's given you. Amen. And I like what somebody said. It fares to be repeated. My son said it the other night when he was preaching. Amen. Hey, what God shows you in the light, don't you ever doubt in the darkness. Because there's going to come dark times. Hey, man, Elijah's down at the brook's dried up. It's dark. Well, don't you doubt what God said. Hey, God will show up and give you what you need. Hey, when you down there at that woman, widow woman, and you command her to do what I said, and when her son dies and it gets dark, don't you doubt what I said, because I promised to take care of you. He was a man. What made him successful? He walked in the faith that God gave him.
That's right,
man. Whatever God commanded, he was willing to do. He walked in the light God gave him until God gave him more light. When the brook dried up, the woman was there. And when the bottom of the barrel was, when she was down at the bottom of the barrel, hey, God was there, amen. Hey, when her son died, God was there. It didn't matter whether the brook was dried up or this woman that was at the bottom of the barrel or the child was dead. He never wavered on what God said, amen. Hey, have faith in God. Watch God do great things. Elijah was a man that not only the word of the Lord was precious to him, but he obeyed the commandments of God by faith. He never lost his confidence in the Lord. When there's going to be success in your life, now he lost it over to chapter 19. You know, he began to doubt and wonder what was going on. But when God's using him and breathing on him, he's a man that's got confidence in God.
Yeah.
The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. God just wants you to step. He said, preacher, but I don't understand. God never asked you to understand. God just asked you to believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And obey.
Absolutely.
But I don't know what's going to happen. Don't worry about what's going to happen. God has commanded it all to come to pass. And you got young people out there. Here's what happens when you get under conviction, like the preacher was talking about this morning. You get to thinking about your peers. You get to thinking about what everybody else is going to think. Maybe even what your parents are going to think. Or some parents maybe begin to wonder what the children are going to think. And you begin to doubt. And amen. All God says is, he that cometh to me must believe that I am. And that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me.
Yes.
You want the Lord? God will reward you.
Amen.
He was a man that put confidence in the Lord. Let me give you this last one very quickly. He not only was a man that the word of the Lord was precious to. He was a man that obeyed God's commandments by faith. But this is a lot overlooked in our churches, I believe. He was a man that enjoyed the miracles of God. Do you know what I know about serving the Lord? It is the best life. I know you hear our sad stories and how troubles come in our lives, and you see it happen with your parents, and you see it happen even with your preacher and his wife and other people. Like, man, this whole world, we're like Elijah. We're subject into light passions. But you know what? God's still the best thing. This is the best life to live.
That's right.
Amen. You know what I see about Elijah? And when he burst out on the scene, he was a man that we seen it. The word of the Lord was precious to him. He obeyed the Lord's commandments by faith, but he enjoyed the miracles of God.
Yeah.
I mean, you imagine going down there and people thinking about, man, what are you doing out here at this river? What are you doing in this stream? Well, I'm just waiting on some ravens to bring me something to eat. People looking up, this guy's a nut.
Yeah.
There's a guy down there at the creek waiting for ravens to bring him something. He don't even know ravens eat that stuff.
Yeah.
They ain't bringing him nothing. They kind of. There's a guy down here building a boat saying it's going to rain. What in the world? Y'all ever heard of what is rain? That means just mist of the ground is all they ever knew.
Yeah.
This guy's a nutcase.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go down to Birmingham and start a work for the Lord? What? Are you crazy? You're not an old bike rider, man. What are you thinking? You're going to start a church? Ain't nobody going to believe you. Look at you. Yeah, you watch God, amen. And I'm going to enjoy the ride and watch him do great things.
Sure.
Hang around here in a minute and you'll see him a-coming.
Right.
You hear him chirping. Here they come. Here they come. Drop it right off right there and he's just starting eating and they thinking, what in the world? And people's wondering at the great miracles of God. And some of you young people, that's the way you are. You wonder at these great men of God and great ladies of God and thinking, how did God do that?
Yeah, amen.
You know how God done it? They just believed him.
Right, amen.
And were willing to say, God, here I am, use
yes,
me.
Amen.
And they've enjoyed it. And you heard the testimonies and the works of the great God that he is. Elijah enjoyed it, man. And you don't think that was exciting? And when the brook dried up, he just took another journey.
Yeah.
Let's see what God's going to do today.
Yeah.
Do you get up like that? What's God going to do today?
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe it might take a little while if you wake up, right? Because you're thinking, man, I want to go back to sleep. But man, it's exciting.
Sure.
And we had a birthday party yesterday, 5 o'clock, 6, 7. We were supposed to leave at 6, but it don't ever happen like that, you know. We left at 7. We got on the road, and we coming down here riding all night. People thinking, are you crazy? Maybe so, man, but I like it. I want to see the Lord do something, man. Hey, we can go down there and see what God's going to do with his youth and his youth revival. I'm excited to be here, amen. Hey, maybe today's going to be a day Elijah steps up. Somebody makes a stand and say, it's my day to serve the Lord. It's my time to shine. Watch God breathe on my life. Not to boast on themselves, but to boast on the God that's calling them. Elijah enjoyed the miracles of God. He enjoyed going down there, and that lady's over there, and she said, well, I'm just going to get something to eat, and we're going to die. That's about the way most people are. We're just going to eat and die. That's the way most people are at church, ain't it, Brother Terrence? We're just going to sit there and eat and die. Eat and drink and be merry. That don't work, man. We eat and drink and die. And while he's going to die, Elijah said, why are you going to die? Get me something to drink. She said, I ain't got no problem with that. He said, why you get me something to drink? He said, get me some meal out that barrel and make me something to eat. Listen, man, I just told you I was going to get me two sticks and me and my son was going to eat this and die. Elijah said, don't you worry. Reach down there and then watch my God work. Amen. You don't think that's exciting? That barrel was dried up. That woman was without hope. And Elijah come down there and changed the whole outlook of that lady's life. Amen. Gave her life, gave her son life and joy in them. It was not only joy to him, but it was the joy to see what God's doing in others.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, what does it mean? The later on, amen, the son died. And Elijah went down there and prayed and said, God, you show him your God. And God raised him up. And that woman said, now I know by the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. It's true, amen. Hey, it's exciting to serve God, amen. It ain't a drag. You know why it's a drag? Because you're doing it in the power of the stinking flesh. You got to walk in the spirit, amen. You're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh and give your life to God and start obeying him and watch him do great things.
Amen.
You know what this is? This is Elijah's stand. Where's your stand? When's it's your time. Maybe God's calling you out of nowhere. And people thinking, not that one. And God's saying, yes, that one. Most of the time God uses people that people think, there is no way it's going to be him or her. We thought it was going to be that one and that one. And God said, no, it's this one. He said, but preacher, my life's been kind of wayward, maybe a little bit worldly, been in the world. Well, hey, it's time to stand. Say, enough's enough. I'm going to make a stand for the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You've never been saved. If you was to die right now, hell would be your home. Today could be the day that you come forth and bust out on the scene and say, it's time for me. Today is the day of salvation. I need to be saved. I need God to change my life. Why don't you burst out on the scene and be saved? Why don't some of you that are saved say, hey, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm here for God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God spoke into your heart and you need to come, you come. Is the word of the Lord precious to you? Are you obeying what he's commanding you or you're enjoying the ride? Maybe God's been good to you and you just want to thank him. Maybe you are the one that's here that's lost. Why don't you come? Let somebody take a Bible, kneel down with you and explain it a little more if you need it. Help you come to know the Lord. Maybe some of you young people in here this morning need to kind of, it's time. It's your time. Why not you? As your preacher comes. What are you waiting on? This world will devour you.
Thank you, Brother Mike. It was good preaching.